and the drug story in AFL has been a big one in the recent days, Ed. It feels to be an annual hardy this time of year, and some numbers around that have been quite extraordinary talking about illicit drug use in the AFL. You've been doing a bit of homework?
I have, and what I don't want to do here, Darcy, is I'm not the leader of the opposition on this, because what you need to do in the situation with the drugs is actually sit back and have a look at it in a sensible fashion. The story started with Michael Warner in the Herald Sun, who had a ripping front page lead where the new head of ASADA has come out and said that they would like to get access to the AFL's reporting systems and the like going forward. Now, that threw a spanner straight into the works of what the AFL's drug code is all about, and that is voluntary health reporting to try and help people get through, whether they've found themselves involved in drugs, whether they've come into the game with drug issues, whether it's a societal issue, whatever the case may be. That's what it's there for, to try and get your medical team involved as quickly as possible. There has been some calls, and I led the calls early on this. I thought that the clubs were far too far away from the drug code in the first instance. But we all stood back, you know, what is it, 10 years ago now, when Andrew Dimitriou sold it to us that the way we could get this happening was in a collaborative way going forward with the Players Association so that we could do it. So we did all that.
Because, Ed, if you took the previous example and all the other codes, we'll have to sign up to the World Anti-Doping Authority, and that is only in-game testing.
Yeah.
And so players, if you wanted to take recreational drugs, you could do it whenever you liked, so long as you didn't do it 2 days before a game. And so what was happening is that players were able to understand that. And so there wasn't an opportunity to catch players, and also a deterrent, because people don't want to strike. You don't want to actually be in that situation. So now that that is the case, it was done voluntarily. The players said, hey, let's sign up so we can make this educational. We can make this a health issue. We can try and catch players before they get banned for life. So having said that, if you take drugs on game day, you're banned for 4 years. So
did players along the journey take the mick out of this? Absolutely. Absolutely, they took the mick out of it, to the point where now it's been revoked down to a two-strike situation. Now, no one ever gets done for the two strikes or the three strikes. Why? Because there are safeguards in place to try and help people who have got a situation or have self-reported. Now, should they go after them in a more
punitive fashion?
Punitive fashion is exactly the word I was looking for, Darce. Possibly, but I don't think that's going to achieve anything at this stage. As you said, it is a testing that is not legitimate as far as the WADA and the ASADA code is concerned. It is far better to help people get through this. And I've been through the situation firsthand, Darce. So I've had three players who have been done for taking cocaine that has come up on match day testing. Okay, two guys, not match day testing, but two guys who had illicit substance in cocaine.
In their sample,
was taken at a music festival, then at St Kilda Festival, and I have had to help them get through and help their lives get through. I've seen it firsthand. I've lived it. I've got another guy who's up who's got Sam Murray, who's still waiting on a B sample, which could see him rubbed out because it came up positive on match day. I can't say any more about that because of my position at the Collingwood Football Club, but that will resolve itself in due course. Now, what happened, of course, and I refer to this, and we play this as a bit of a joke, but when this type of video goes around virally, and I speak of the Shane Mumford story, and we'll roll it. Sausage. We get the gist there. Then people think that everyone is taking the mick. And everyone's got a story of somebody seeing somebody at a nightclub or in the postseason, and that's why people get angry about this. Ross Levinson, who's on the 3AW Breakfast Show, Ross is a gun. They have a rumour file segment there. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong, it's, you know, like anything in life. But Ross went with a pretty strong call the other day. He said this.
One thing that is gathering a little bit of steam now is, I reckon it was 4 weeks ago, where on this program, I don't know whether it was part of the rumour file or not, but I told you that I'd had confirmed to me by someone that should know that there is indeed one AFL club that has 16 players on its list who have registered as having mental health issues, which means that they cannot be randomly drug tested for illicit drugs. And no one has come out and said that that's not true, and it's now looking as if there's every chance it is true.
So I'll come out and say it right now.
All right, Ed. It's no, I want you to hold fire, because we're on a... Can we come back?
No. I want to come off right now and say that is not true. Okay? That is categorically not true.
Okay.
Right? There's not a team that's got 16, and it's not 14, and it's not 15, and it's not 17. I'm not being
So you mean that's way off the mark, is what you're saying?
I'm saying that that's not true. And that is, there's been reporting over the journey that is not true in these situations, Dars.
You've talked to every president at every club to know that that's not true?
The presidents don't know.
Well, you've how do you know that it's not true?
Because I have been a journalist for a long time, and I know how to find where the stories are. I can tell you, right? I'll go to my sources, and I'll stand by my sources. That's not true. That's not to say that.
But how can you say that that's not true then? If the presidents don't know, if the reporting's not done, how could you possibly say that that's not true?
Because I've gone to my sources, and my sources are very good, and I'm saying it's not true.
So you're saying someone at the AFL?
I'm not saying anything. I'm not giving up any sources.
But that's where it would have to be, right?
Well, you have to trust me on this situation, okay? And I'll stand by 35 years of not getting them wrong, okay? I'm telling you, let's not get excited on rumours, right? Let's stick to the facts. Let's build through it. Is there a problem? Of course there's a problem. There's a societal problem. But you don't have to get all excited about this in this situation just because it makes a big headline in a dull part of the season. There are bigger issues at play here. There are mental health issues. There are a lot of good people working on this. Is it the perfect system? No. Are they going to revise it? Yes, they are. Should the clubs have more input into it? I think they should have. Should it be a situation where the club is in charge of it? No, I don't think that is should be the situation. Should it be a collective approach? Definitely. There's a lot of things to discuss, but what I don't want to have is just people running off, barracking for a story in the media that kills the situation that is a health and safety issue for a lot of young people. And it's, I think it's an opportunity for the AFL to lead in a really strong manner.
Yeah, and I would argue the AFL has already led in a really strong manner previously. The system's not perfect, but I think it perhaps needs some adjustment. But that is an extraordinary number if that one that reported was even close to being true.
But it could be. There's no reason why there can't be 16 or 42 people with mental health issues or drug problems. But I'm telling you that my information is that is not true and not close.
23.
There's not 16 players at a club who have used the veil of mental health to be able to not be tested for drugs.
One of those players that played at that era was Peter Spider Everett. He's got his own show, our brother station, up on the Gold
Triple
Coast.
Triple M on the Gold Coast, yeah.
And this is a bit of what Spider Everett had to say yesterday.
I take offence to something like this, and I think a majority of the players do. When you're saying 50% of the players were on social drugs, do you really believe the information you're given?
Yeah, it was probably a bit light on, wasn't it? It was probably more like, 80-90%. But anyway...
We've been serious because you're questioning a lot of dignity of players that you supported, you grew up with, and you put your heart and soul into them, and now you're questioning their dignity in the game. Every time now we're going to be questioned, and I think you're a liar.
Yeah, but don't you think that's a good thing?
That was Peter Spider Everett speaking to Grant Thomas yesterday, who came out and said that we heard what he said there. Spider's going to speak to us after 7:30. As I said, we're not defending or running a campaign here, but what we need to do is just have a good look at what's going on, find out where the problems are, and not get all hysterical. Suddenly we're talking about 16 players allegedly been alleged at one club. Grant Thomas is saying 80 or 90% of the playing list in 10 years ago. These figures are starting to go out of control. We just need to calm down.
100% of presidents during his reign had... drug issues that came out later.
I think Spider Everett might have made a point along that line, and he's going to join us after 7:30.
Peter Spider Everett works on our sister station on the Gold Coast these days.
Superstar player for the St Kilda Football Club, champion ruckman, All-Australian over many years,
and
many
a
games.
Very colourful character who ran into his fair share of dramas over his career. He joins us on the line this morning. Spider, yesterday we just played a little bit of your conversation with your former coach, Grant Thomas. Now, Tomo has come out and said that he was anecdotally told that a number of the St Kilda players were doing recreational drugs or illicit drugs during the time that you're at the club, and you responded pretty vehemently against that, mate. Tell us your thoughts on what happened in the last couple of days in regards to drug taking in football.
Yeah, look, I think 99% of the St Kilda players are filthy with it is the fact that he's totally wrong. I think, when you're throwing out figures of 50% of the playing group and, you've spoken about already, Ed, about, 16 players at one club, I know for a fact that, you can't have 50% of players out there on drugs in football clubs. So he's obviously just heightened up his story to get a little bit of media coverage. Yeah, there are players out there that are unfortunately gone down that path, but not 50, 60, 70%. And he's taking it off one source. So he actually, lack of research on Tomo's behalf just shows how incompetent he is about the drug issue.
Spide, have you had a chance to chat to some of your teammates? Because these stories come out and it does cast a shadow over everyone in that era, and suddenly your family are talking about what happened through your playing days, and it does resonate. People believe it as fact. Have you spoken to any of your old mates?
And that's the thing yesterday. I had a lot of former players, some that I haven't spoken to since 06 and 07. You know, you don't get a, you know, keep staying in contact with all the players over the whole period of time. But I had a lot of calls yesterday about this subject saying that he is wrong. And I think, as you know, Luke, it's really hard and disappointing when, you know, you are all thrown the blanket over all of you, because you've got children now in the vulnerable age of 16, 17, 18, at 22. You've got young daughters or sons at school. And when you're thrown under the bus like that and saying, you know, all these players were taking drugs while you're at the footy club, and it's totally 100% wrong. You got to sit there and say, you know what, you've got to get your facts right before you start making all these allegations.
Now, Spider, we don't want to become cheerleaders here, because the first ever president's meeting I went to in 1998 at general business time, I brought up to the AFL Commission that recreational drugs were going to be the biggest issue in football at that stage. It got poo-pooed. Dale Lewis came out not long after and said there was a big issue in football, and he got run out of town and was ultimately proven to be correct. We saw the West Coast Eagles issues over the journey. We've seen Shane Mumford. We even saw Jack Watts in recent times, if not taking drugs, certainly simulating the situation. So there is a big issue out there at the moment. Having come through the whole series through your career, how do you see what the football world should do, football clubs and the AFL, to try and slow this situation down?
Yeah, look, I think naming and shaming a lot of the players, you know, Mumford's obviously hurt by it, same with Watts, and, you know, you've named a few, but realistically, how many players have been through the system in that time? Probably thousands. So, you know, still, there's only a small percentage. I think the AFL could make a better drug policy. They've got the three policy at the moment. I think clubs should
actually two, Spider. Just that they changed it last year to two.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know, I think there's still now clubs need a better buy-in. I think, yeah, you know, you hand over, you know, mum and dad, or you go to a football club, they need buy-in from that player, and also the club needs to make, you know, that player responsible. So I think the clubs should have more control on the drug policy around each club, because, you know, there is that one or two maybe at each club, but there's not 50%. And I reckon the clubs would be able to handle it on the spot a lot quicker and a lot more dignified than what the AFL can, looking down as a big brother.
Now, Spider, Grant Thomas is normally quite a sensible media commentator, so I'm a bit surprised that he's gone off half-cocked on this one. But, you know, you would have thought that maybe he could have looked in his own backyard, seeing that the president of St Kilda during his time has later admitted to having quite a drug culture rather than perhaps the players.
Well, that's half my battle, is you sit there and go, you know, to Grant, I said, when we talk about the St Kilda hierarchy on drugs, no, we don't. We talk about Rod Butters. So we don't put all of them under the same banner as saying, you know, during that time, the St Kilda hierarchy, because they weren't. It was Rod Butters who had a problem. And I brought this up with Tomo and said, well, did you actually, you know, confront Butters about this? And he goes, yes. And I said, but in 2006, when you knew it was a problem? He said, no. And I said, well, why bring it up 12 years later? It's ridiculous. So that's all Tomo's bringing up. He's trying to get, obviously, you know, his headlines. And I thought you were being sarcastic at the start where you said he's actually a half a smart journalist, because he doesn't do a lot of his research at all, Tomo.
All right, Spider, thank you for that, mate. We appreciate it. Get back to the Gold Coast, mate. And thank you for taking the time this morning.
No worries. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
Darts, as a former player who also came through a bit of that, and you're watching it now from another point of view because you're a father, and you've got a son who is playing good football and could well end up at a football club. What do you expect as a parent if your 17, 18-year-old son turns up at a football club and I look you in the eye and say, yep, I'll do my best to look after you, but I didn't realise I've just put you next to Pablo Escobar in the change rooms?
Yeah, well, I'll look at that and think, broaden that out to society. I mean, there's a whole heap of kids starting O-Week this week at university. Everyone's going into a situation where recreational drugs are now a massive part of the world. Now, if he ends up, or any kid ends up at a football club, he's got the coverage of being tested on game day, of going into the health system, he gets tested midweek. The footy club environment I experienced was absolutely fantastic. Now, we're not trying to pretend there's not recreational drug. Of course there is. Of course you put a snapshot of 800 people together and a percentage of them are going to take recreational drug. if you start testing people, that goes down significantly. If you start giving people health and education, it goes down significantly because you've got this profile and this brand AFL. It's a big story. We talk about it, but the numbers.
Can I ask you a hypothetical question?
Yes.
And both you and Ed can answer this. If you were to test percentage-wise the AFL for recreational drugs or the Logies for recreational drugs, which of the two do you think would have the higher percentage?
It's not even a contest. It's not even a contest.
Well, and as Darcy mentioned, you know, the situation of drug taking and also dropping out and social and mental issues in universities is off the scale. So it is. I mean, look, the cops tell us 1 in 9 people pulled over on the roadside, and they're not testing for all the drugs, Darcy. Are testing positive. So I think sometimes that there's a little bit of moral high ground on the picking on the footballers.
Health and education has got to be, and the AFL are trying their best. There are always going to be people that game the system. But
people like Peter Gordon and Jeff Kennett are trying their best because they don't want people taking the mick out of it, Darcy. And also,
totally get that.
Peter Gordon and again, Jeff, and all the presidents for that matter, because we speak about it, it'll come up in a week's time at the president's meeting, are trying their best to look after the situation as best they can to help the players. No one wants to run anyone out of town. You want to be able to get control of it so you can help these kids before it's too late.